Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise His holy name. Well, I pray that you've been giving Him thanks this morning for bringing you through the night. All right. Let us get ready to go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we open your word this morning, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and minds to be receptive unto this word, Father, and to show us the truth, the power, and the depth of this your word, Father, so that we can walk stronger and closer unto you, Father, in all our ways as we go through our life here on the earth, that we be ready when the Lord calls us out of this life to make heaven our home. Be with us now, Father, through this study. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As I told y'all yesterday, ones that was with me, we're going to be in the book of Ruth. All right. Here's chapter 1, verse 1. It says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Verse 2. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion. Now they went to Ephrathah of Bethlehem, Judah. They came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Now she's left without a husband after just going to a different country. The name of and she was left and her two sons, and they took them wives of the woman of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwell there about 10 years. And Mahalath and Chilion died. Both her sons now are gone. She's in this country now by herself. Also both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughter-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Now, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. You see, even though they were of different places, her two daughter-in-laws had stayed right with her because she was by herself now and kind of on her own, so to speak. Now, verse 9 says, the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. 10. They said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. They're telling her they'll go with her to her so she can get back to her people. Verse 11. Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? For now she's old. And you know, back then too, there was actually other funny-like laws and things set up. The law of Moses provided for the custom of the Levite marriages by which a childless widow would be married by her husband's brother so as to raise up an heir for the deceased son. Now, and because both of her sons were dead and she was not then pregnant, Naomi, she couldn't offer her daughter-in-laws any hope. Or protection of that custom. And so therefore, she was trying to advise the girls to return to their own people. And we know that Naomi saw from this, you know, throughout this book is good. She was a good, godly woman. Now we go back to 12. Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth cleaved unto her. In other words, Ruth wasn't turning her loose. She's hanging right on to her. Now, 15. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. You see, the things back then, because of so much going on among the different peoples, and each with different gods, and then we find those that are willing to even trade gods, which is what's happened, what is about to happen here. Because you see, this young lady that's wanting to go with Ruth comes from idol worshipers. That's what was in Moab. Now, 17. It says here in 17, it says, for thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death are thee and me. She's letting Ruth know, Ruth is letting Naomi know, nothing is going to separate you. She's going to be by Naomi's side. You see, Ruth's faith and her faithfulness, you know, are actually in evidence throughout this book, as we will see as we go on through. And in her commitment to Naomi's God as her own, Ruth's own concern for Naomi is bound by a strong oath. She made that before the Lord himself. She is taking an oath of Naomi's God now. All right. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? Of course it was. Now here in 20, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. Now, you know, that name of Naomi carries with it the ideas of pleasantness and delight. Her loss of her husband and her two sons seemed to kind of belie her name, really. So now she's wanting to change it and to be called Mara, which means bitter. You know, Naomi calls God by the well-known patriarchal name Shaddai, meaning the Almighty One. Think about this. But despite her sorrow, Naomi still acknowledges the sovereignty of God over her life. Now, she's hurt because she is by herself. She's lost her husband and both sons, and by herself. But still, she knows the sovereignty of God. We'll find here in 21, it says, I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? Not really, but this is the way she felt because of all of her loss. And like I said, back then, they didn't have what you and I have today. And that's why we need to be praising God every day of our lives and all through the day for what we have. 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. They got there just in time for the barley harvest. Now, we know that we've got two women here alone. No man among them. And they have just left one place and come to another. Now, we're going into chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. Now, verse 2. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. 3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her cap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred Naomi's dead husband. Now, here in 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servants that were set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? He's asking about who now, whose damsel is this? Six. And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the, pardon me, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued even from the morning until now, that she tarry a little in the house. Now, 8. Then said Boaz to Ruth, marvelest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from thence, but abide here, passed by my maidens. 9. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Now he's letting her know that he's not against her gleaning, but he's telling her a better way of it and to where she can gain more. And also how to take care of herself as far as drinking things that way. Now, 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Back then, strangers among people didn't fare too often well. But now, seems like she's making quite a hit here. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it has fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. He knows about her and knows what she's done because of all, in fact, everyone knew about Naomi's return and bringing this one with her, and how this one had stayed with her and took care of her and all. Now 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You know, Boaz, his appreciation of Ruth's kindness. It also, you know, kind of stirs things up in him and his own feelings. And he recognizes his opportunity to give protection and provision as the God in whom she had just recently come to trust. Now, 13. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaids. Now, she's giving him thanks, you know, letting him know that she knows she is not like his other handmaidens at all. But here in 14, Bo said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he touched her, and he reached her parched form, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. Now he said to her, 15. Now when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. He's letting her really get it. 16. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. He's really taken to her, isn't he? 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. I don't know what an ephah measure would be, actually. And 18. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou blessed be me that did take knowledge of thee? And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her, daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. One of our next kinsmen. Now, here in 21, and Ruth, the Moabitess, said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. In other words, she's going to be going every day if she can. He's letting her know that, and gleaning with them. Right now, she don't know that he has told them to leave a lot for her. 22. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. And she's gleaning all this time. As of what it has been telling us here, the only thing being brought in for the two of them is what she has been able to do and accomplish. But you see, they still, we're still looking at people that not like most. And as we go, we're going to see more and more of God at work with these people. We found here a man that has a heart filled with the love of God and doing what he can to help Ruth. And Ruth is still there taking care of Naomi. We're going to stop here for the morning. We'll get back into, God willing, we'll get back into some more of it this evening. And we're going to find out just how good God really is. You see, I read this book. We haven't really got to the greatest part of it yet. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to do that you will call upon us to do, and to open our hearts and minds so that we can understand the revelation of your word, Father, and be able to walk in obedience unto thy will. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we pray for them. We ask the Holy Spirit to keep them in health, keep them safe, and to see to their needs. And for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace. But even more than that, Father, we're praying for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as the land for Jesus. In this land of ours, Heavenly Father, that has grown so evil, and that evil is due to the leadership we have in our government and in a lot of our churches, Father. Mother, I'm asking now, in Jesus' name, for your help to remove from office those that are evil, and to replace them, Father, with those that are walking in righteousness, that is filled with the love of yours, and that they love you. They love the Lord Jesus. They love the church, and they love your people in this nation. And Father, I pray that they'll work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for those that are with me, Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy, and Amy's family, her husband and her son. For Mary and Bob Johnson, Millie, Mother, and for all of those that love you here in this area. May we find a way for us all to come together so that we can begin to have an awakening and a revival here in this county where I live, Father. And me and my family, be with our families, Father. May the Holy Spirit touch each member. Let them come to the knowledge of knowing they need something more than themselves. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, Father, that they'll come out of darkness and go to the light, and that light being Jesus, putting their faith and trust in him, being forgiven, and both begin walking that pathway of righteousness, learning and making their way on, Father. And when they leave this life, they'll make heaven their home. Now, Father, as we separate for this day, each going our own ways, lead each of us, Father, to someone that we can share the word with and maybe gain another one for that kingdom. Help us, Father, in all of our ways. And keep us through this day. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. And bring us back together again this evening, Father, at 6 p.m. and back into the world. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a good day. Walk with God. He'll walk with you. Spend a little time with him in prayer. Spend a little more time with him in his word. Have a great day. Bye-bye now.